The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astonished us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Have you noticed the proliferation of people who are begging on the street corners of Fort Smith? Apparently, this is a widespread phenomenon, not just here. Because I see people begging when I visit my brother in Fayetteville or go to see my parents in Little Rock. The poor people stake out their street corners like Catholics stake out their church pews. God help you if you accidentally stand on someone else's corner or sit in someone else's pew. Now, as a purely personal matter, I do not give money to people who are begging on the streets. But at the same time, I do not want to judge or condemn anyone who does give alms to the poor like that. Each person has to follow the dictates of his or her own conscience. Whenever I see someone begging, though, I always think of Acts chapter 3, our first reading, where Peter and John come across a beggar on their way to the temple. Peter's words pop into my mind when I see the people on the street corners. He said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk." And the man was miraculously healed. But more importantly, we read, he leaped up, stood, walked around, and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. In other words, even more than restoring his physical health, the miracle healed the man's spiritual health. He received the gift of faith, which is more precious than silver or gold. That's what I wish I could give the preponderance of people begging on all the street corners of our country: the precious gift of faith. They need faith more than a $5 bill. But folks, before we jump on our high horse and look down on the beggars asking for alms, we should ask ourselves, what are we begging for before we jump up and go into church? We may not be sitting on the street corners, but in our hearts, we have desires and demands that we make of God before we accept him in faith. Just like the beggar who wants a fiver more than faith. So let me mention a few things we may prefer before faith in God. First of all, we can all put a higher premium on finances than faith. I feel this as a temptation as a pastor. I worry about paying the bills, keeping the lights on, and the landscaping pretty, and buying new heating and cooling system for the church. So that's why we don't turn on the air conditioning in the hot summer months, and thereby encourage people to give more in the collection. That's called sweat equity. Parishioners do this too, by working extra hours on Sunday instead of going to Mass and resting on the Lord's Day. We are not unlike the beggars who want financial security more than faith. Secondly, we may be more persuaded by the discoveries of science than the demands of spirituality. When Scripture comes in conflict with science, we sometimes stand on the side of science. I'm certainly not advocating a fundamentalist or overly literal interpretation of the Bible. However, we seem to have far more faith in scientific theories than in sound theology. We put more credence in the words of men than in the Word of God. Like the beggars on the street corners, we ask for scientific proofs for our faith before we will jump up and walk into the temple to worship. Thirdly, we beg for peace and prosperity rather than sacrifice or suffering before we come to faith in God. If God does not answer our prayers for healing, or give us a new job, or longer life, then we will not believe. Our faith is shaken. I sometimes wonder if this is why some families choose not to send their children to Catholic schools, because we do not offer all the amenities in other schools. The main thing we offer our students is faith. Like Peter said to the beggar, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have, I give you." Could this be why Catholics choose other churches to attend that offer all kinds of programs and powerful preaching on Sunday. We too beg for sermons that do not put us to sleep, and we go where we can get it. We are not that different from the beggars on the street corners. Let me leave you with a quotation from Pope Benedict XVI. He asked a very provocative question, and then he answered it. The Pope Emeritus wrote, "What did Jesus actually bring, if not world peace, universal prosperity, and a better world?" The answer is very simple: God. He has brought God. It is only because our hardness of heart that we think this is too little. In other words, whether we are sitting on a street corner or sitting at the corner of a pew, we are all begging for something more than for faith. Praise be to Jesus Christ.